Hello, lovers. Today we are talking about dating in this episode. I, of course, do not have any experience on this topic, so I've brought in two experts who I'm going to chat with and talk about their experiences and any advice for those who might be navigating a relationship or raising a family when your partner or even yourself maybe is in a demanding career. Before I introduce them, I just wanted to let you all know that this is actually our last episode in the studio until I can't give you an exact date. I have no idea where the rest of this year is heading. I'm about to swap out the runway for the road and take Aviatrix all across Queensland and deliver aviation plus STEM workshops to school students all across the state in collaboration with Red Dirt Robotics. Now, if you haven't seen any of this on the socials already, that's a bit about what we're doing, but definitely head over to Aviatrix International, to my personal accounts, Georgie_Arnold, and I'm also going to be vlogging weekly on YouTube. So whilst the potty might be here, there and everywhere, there's still lots of ways to stay up to date and to listen and watch along. So whilst I'm leaving, I won't be going too far. You can follow along everything, and if I meet some epic aviators along the way, I'll be sure to whip out the microphone and chat with them. So the boys have been really lovely here. They've set me up with all the equipment that I need to be able to record on the road. I'm just going to be having very limited time in each spot that I'm going to, so each like little town. We are honestly staying for probably maximum 24 hours in each place, and if I meet someone I would love to podcast with them, it'll be a case of whether I've got time. And also, when you're meeting new people, like, you don't really just want to whip out a camera or a microphone in front of them if they're not too comfortable with it. But definitely, if there are people who are happy to be on the potty, I will invite them on and we'll sit down and chat no matter where we are, so I can still get some stuff out to you guys. Also, if you have anyone you know across the state who you'd like to be on the podcast, definitely this is the time to send it in, because I will be traveling everywhere and I will have access to hopefully them and all their incredible advice for you guys. So before I go into this episode, I wanted to, I guess, take some time for a bit of a background story of our guests. So the first one is Mishy. You guys all know my mum, Michelle. She's been on the potty heaps of times before. She's pretty much the second host of this podcast, which I'm sure you guys do not have any issues with. She's an excellent speaker and I would love to continue to learn from her in the public speaking space. Now, the other guest is, I guess, she's essentially my other mum. So Patsy Fox is pretty much family to us. Bit of a background story. Patsy and her partner Dave started and ran a very successful company called Fox Helicopters. If you're not familiar with Fox Helicopters, they're based out west of Townsville, so Hughenden, Richmond area, if you're familiar with that part of the country. And now my dad and Patsy's husband, Dave, both flew together when they first started off as mustering pilots, which you'll hear a little bit about, and you'll hear how Michelle and Patsy kind of got to meet each other. Now, Patsy also has a son, Tom, who is my age, and I guess aviation is our whole world, and we've all grown up in the industry together, and now us kids are all growing up and experiencing it all together. So a very full circle moment. Dave Fox is actually now working with us as an instructor at Townsville Helicopters, and we're very grateful to have his knowledge and experience in our hangar to pass on to our students and the next generation. And it also means that Patsy gets to visit us a lot more, which is excellent. So Patsy's in the office and has a chat with us every now and then when she comes in for what she calls her 100 hourly, which I absolutely love. So that's like all her appointments she does in town, she calls it her 100 hourly, and I'm definitely stealing that phrase and taking it with me as I go. So that is our guest for today. Patsy and Michelle are in the studio to talk all things dating and how they raised a family and kept a relationship alive whilst doing long distance, as both of their partners were pilots, especially a very different back in the day when there wasn't the social media and all the communication that we have today, which I think we all take for granted a little bit. I know I certainly do. So that is our episode. Hope you guys enjoy. And I don't know when I will be chatting with you again, but definitely go follow along all the other platforms so we can still all stay in touch and chat with each other. And I'll see you around soon. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard Aviatrix Airwaves. Please do not turn off your electrical equipment, which you are listening to this podcast on, and instead just sit back, relax, and enjoy as we are about to take off into this episode. We've had the podcast for over a year now. Girly podcast, and we haven't even sat down and spoken about all the fun stuff, boys and dating and all that stuff. So before we get into the nitty gritty goss, I think a lot of people thought who I'd be talking with today would be pilots when I said we were going to be talking about dating and in a demanding career. And people thought, okay, you're talking with pilots. Let's see what we can ask them about that. Now, which is why, Patsy, Michelle, that I've got you in the studio, and I actually love even more that I'm talking with you and not particularly pilots. So women, whilst we are slowly stepping into aviation roles, which is excellent, we've actually been the rocks and backbone of the industry well before we stepped into these official roles, which you're sitting there nodding and saying yes. So I wanted, and the other side of this, I want to share your stories with everyone today, because as well, even most of our listeners are pilots, which we are aware of, and I think this will be good for them to kind of hear what maybe their partner will be thinking or going through if they do end up getting in a relationship and, you know, going into marriage and raising kids with one of your partners being in aviation. So Patsy, let's go back in time. Where did your journey in aviation begin, and how did you meet your co-pilot for life?
Okay, so our story began in Mount Isa. So my husband always had a private fixed wing license. So he's always, that was always part of us. When we were in Mount Isa though, it was in doing a different job, and the background was always had wanted to be a commercial helicopter pilot. That was the goal, the dream, why we were working in Mount Isa.
Yeah.
So we were a bit different in that we had done something else, we'd done other careers to get the opportunity to become a commercial helicopter pilot.
Yes.
So while we're working in Mount Isa,
we
did the, he did his commercial theory by correspondence and then took time off to go and do the actual flying part.
I'm going to jump in here because the beautiful Mrs. Fox isn't telling the entire story. If I recall correctly, they met at the skydiving club?
Yes, we did.
I was going to say, did you meet but while Dave was already in aviation? So he was already in aviation.
Well, doing some fixed wing.
Yeah, yeah. At the sky, at the what? Skydiving club?
At the drop zone.
At the drop zone. Patsy was a daredevil.
He was jumping out of planes.
Take us back to that day. Run me through it.
Well, it was at a function actually afterwards, and there was a party going on, and a few of us had gone to that because we'd start doing, we'd been doing some volunteering work at schools, just helping out where they needed assistance, and we'd heard about a group of skydivers that possibly were looking to assist, so we went along to the party. Met this group of people, and that's where he was. And then, so that, and then we got involved in a bit of volunteering, doing other charity work.
You were like, yes, I'll 100% be there now. Wonderful. And Mishy, take us back. We've heard a little bit of the story of how you and my dad met, but take us back to that so we can recap.
Okay, well, we met at the Cloncurry Airport.
There you go, Cloncurry and Mount Isa.
Cloncurry and Mount Isa, the two hot places to meet future husbands.
Meet future pilots.
Meet future pilots. So your dad was already a pilot at that stage. He'd been flying just over a year, I believe. And I was at the end of my work visa and had an opportunity to jump in a helicopter and go spend a few days up around the Gulf, and he happened to be the pilot that I was jumping in a helicopter with. So you should always do a bit more research, ladies, on who you're jumping into random aircraft with would be my recommendation. And so he'd been flying for a year already. And I guess I know where you're going a bit with this podcast. I was aware when I met him what his travelling schedule was like and how much he was already devoted to his career. And I grew up in a household where my father travelled a lot for work, so I was aware of ways to manage that in a relationship, I guess.
Jumping the gun, Mishy.
I know, I'm sorry, I'm getting there on you, Georgie, I'm fast-tracking.
And that's probably where our friendship begins.
I was going to say, well, enough about the boys already, let's talk about you two. Where did you two meet?
So we, David did a trip across Northern Australia trying to find a job and managed to be employed for Cloncurry. So we then were in a position, we had to move from where we were to Cloncurry. How did we do that? How did that all happen? He was backwards and forwards. I then managed to, my employer at the time started an office in Cloncurry. But we went into a situation where we moved to Cloncurry, but we moved in with our employer until our house was ready. It was virtually like going to a ready-made family. Yeah. So I was totally out of my area, coming into a new career, and just seemed to get enveloped in this family group that just took you on board. It was quite amazing.
Yeah, so go back to when you did have to move. What was your thoughts around that? So you did you drop everything, and then was it a couple months that you were doing the long distance, or when did you decide that you actually wanted to?
It was probably 3 months. David was going backwards and forwards. He was living with the employers under their house for some time, and they at that company, they still do this. Pilots must do a certain amount in the hangar.
Yep.
Before then they go out and they do their training for mustering. And he was doing backwards and forwards on his motorbike. We were trying to get a house. What did we do? And then we went through the process of buying some land, getting the house sorted. But the house wasn't going to be ready for about 12 weeks. So we moved in with company people. It was just magic, and became part of their family, and we still are today.
Oh, wonderful.
And then in that circle, that's of course then Michelle took me under her wing.
So were you already there, Mum? You were already
I'd already been there a few years.
Oh, okay, a few years.
Yeah, and that was, well, that was the circle, because at that stage with the company, the fellows would be gone for 5 weeks.
5, 6 weeks.
6 weeks, time. 3 weeks, a day off maybe Normanton or the Birkenwills Roadhouse.
Which is still quite how it is these days in mustering. It's, 7 days a week. There's hardly any time off throughout the whole year, especially as a beginner pilot as well. You know, you get all the beginner jobs, you get all the weekends when everyone else is going out to the rodeos and the races and all that
well,
stuff.
Well, it's seasonal, isn't it?
Yeah.
And your program for your operation, you've just got to fit in with what that is.
How did you go with that? So there's not social media or anything back then. So was that time completely away from each other, or was there communication anyway?
In the early days, there was nothing. And even, I guess, the best example was I actually found out I was pregnant with your brother, Sam, and could not get hold of Dick to tell him. I had to try and get him a cryptic message through friends of friends to try and call me, because we could go weeks without any communication at all. There was nothing. No mobile phones, no...
Was there Normanton phone? House?
Oh, Norman the Albion House? Hotel. Yep. Like, I would call the Albion Hotel and ask to speak to him, because they'd stay out the back of the Albion.
So hard to me.
Occasionally they'd be at a property where they felt they knew the people well enough to ask to borrow the phone in the kitchen. But you could go weeks with no communication at all, and sometimes you'd hear from one of the other pilots that came home that'd say, oh, by the way, you know, Dick or Dave's expected to be home on this date, but it didn't always happen.
And the rule was, don't let us know you're coming home until you're home in the hangar and know you can stay.
So when they got home, you actually have a good story that I love that you told me a couple years ago about when Dad would fly over the house, to let you know.
Yeah, like literally he would fly over the house and I'd look up and he would wave and I'd know, oh, Dick's home, I'll go out to the airport and pick him up. That would be how I would know he was on his way home.
I just actually can't even fathom it, hey. Like, I could not think it. I feel like social media, we're obviously also glued to it, and our, like, how easy communication is these days, that we really just take it for granted. And I think it would be so wild to see it change over the years to not having any communication, knowing where the pilot is, to now we can literally track where that helicopter is.
Well, and I think we've gone from HF radio. Mm-hmm. So when we started our operation back in Richmond, I had base set at home UHF, and that's how David and I would communicate. He'd let me know if when he was coming home, anything was needed.
Yep.
So we've gone from UHF, then to mobiles, then to me having spot trackers, spider tracks, everything on my mobile.
Everything can see how fast they're going, where they are, everything these days. When you had to, you were trying to get in contact with everyone to tell Dad that you were pregnant with Sam. Going back to that time, was there any change in your mindset around your partner being in aviation when you became pregnant? Was there any, you were more concerned of the risk of it?
No, I think it was just what we knew. Mm-hmm. And that's what, for a better term, that's what we signed up for. We were well aware of our lifestyle and the choices we'd made and what that impact was. And there was good with bad. So it was seasonal, and yes, they'd be gone for 6 weeks at a time. But then they would literally have 2 or 3 months off. Back then, it was much more seasonal than it is now, and we'd have fantastic overseas holidays or months at the coast. It was great. Before kids and the seasonality of the work, if you didn't take the good with the bad, it was your own fault, basically. But it could be a really great lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, we come from a different... So David was underground mining. Mm-hmm. So risk...
It's just something you've always...
just something that... Mm-hmm. I honestly can say I never thought about it.
Okay.
I really didn't.
Yeah. Because I know, going on a different look for this now, women who are pilots and who are falling pregnant, usually they'll step away from the role when it is no longer safe to do so, but then, jumping back in the machine. I just wondered if that was something that had ever come up with you guys, if it was ever something you were concerned about that played on your mind.
No. And possibly because we were all in our friendship circle, we were all wives of pilots.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't come up.
Didn't come up to you?
No, I think we'll get into the trust issue later, but you had to trust in their abilities and know that they were capable.
Their training and then their capabilities.
What do you think was the strongest aspect of the keeping the relationship alive?
For me, it was trust. It was knowing that if you're going to go 6 weeks with no communication, not know where they are, there had to be trust. Mm-hmm. And I know Patsy takes it further to it's an absolute partnership.
Mm. It's the team. If you're not signed up for the team, well...
Did it ever concern you? Did you feel like you had to stop any part of your life to then join into theirs, or it just meshed well?
Well, for me, it meshed well. I was working in Cloncurry and it just... got involved with different things in the community, made my own. We do different things at houses. We'd create our own parties.
She's laughing.
Our own. Our social group, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I know how we've done it, and I think if we could give any advice to future generations or people going through it is... If you are the spouse left at home in a small community, the importance of becoming involved in that community, getting out. For me, I was on the committee on the Show Society, the Rodeo Committee, the Merry Master.
And you came from a completely different country.
Totally
as
different
well.
Country. The work Patsy's put into the communities she's been over the years is just mind-boggling. But if you're going to be at home alone holding the fort, get involved in the community. You'll get so much satisfaction out of it. You'll be supported. You'll become part of a bigger group who will have your back when your spouse isn't there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stress the importance of it enough. And it doesn't even have to be a small community. Anywhere you are, if you're not out making your own life, you're going to resent your partner.
Yeah.
And I think for us, we've always volunteered, always been involved with groups and looked at areas where we can assist and help, and that's my background. My parents, they served their community, so it's just been an extension of everything that we've done.
Mm-hmm.
And back in Richmond, and that's just involved with lots of different groups, charities, and there to support your community. You find other people that are like-minded that helps support you then. I think it's very important to be involved in your community.
It goes back to that you're a team as well, not just in relationship but in your community. You're all there for each other.
Absolutely.
Love that. So let's talk a little bit about, I said at the start you guys were the rock, and I truly do believe this, in both of your businesses. So how did you then grow into the aviation roles that you were in, and it was, you know, your partner's life, but then as Patsy said, you are a team and then meshed into it, aviation becoming your whole world eventually?
Well, for us it was, I'm the behind the scenes person. I was the person on the phone. Some of our clients I actually didn't meet for such a long time because you're just the person on the phone. You're not out there. Then I'm the bookkeeper, taking of bookings, managing different things. I mean, when we started, I was driving with our son Tom to Hughenden with 4 drums of Avgas in the back of the car. Fill them up, come back. Then we progressed. We got a fuel tank, and I had a chain block that I could lift. Then we got ramp.
You look so excited saying that.
It was such a progression, and then we actually got a fuel pump. We just went through these different stages. So you know, I was filling fuel drums for clients.
You were a full ground crew.
Oh yeah, absolutely. When we started, yeah, Tom backing up in the rear, and I must say now that Richmond has a Bowser.
Look at your face when you say that. So excited. How long ago?
Last year.
Last year? Yeah. Oh, I thought it'd been there for a couple of years.
Oh, well, maybe it has.
Time goes too quickly these days, doesn't it?
But Patsy doesn't say enough of what she's done. I can vouch for the fact that Patsy,
that's why I made you two come in together, because I was like, I know you're both too humble to talk about your own experience.
The time queen.
True.
No one holds SAR times better than Patsy.
For our non-aviation team, tell them what a SAR time is.
A SAR time.
Search and rescue. Mm-hmm. And, yes, they're very, very important. We are the safety for your crew, all your pilots, and mine knew that if they missed a SAR time.
Don't forget your SAR
time.
Don't
forget all those out there listening. SAR times, it's important. Let people know. Press the button, make the call.
Okay, so for those non-aviation people, a SAR time is, in smaller companies, held by the company. In bigger companies, it's held by AirWatch. And what it is when you're going somewhere, you let a company representative know where you are, where you're going, and when you're going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are not there at that minute, we actually call search and rescue to go and find you.
Yep.
And it is
You have
critical.
Your process. It is critical. You have your process that you follow if you go over your search and rescue time. If you've given it an estimated time of arrival, once that point gets reached, you follow your process and you go through trying to track. And that's for different companies, different people. That'll be different aspects. For us as a smaller company, it was
all on you.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And were you, so you're obviously managing being a mum at the time, were you managing any other careers, or had you fully stepped away and stepped into Fox Helicopters then?
We were fortunate. We worked hard so that I stayed home with Tom for 4 years, and then I got a permanent part-time job at Richmondshire Council, and that was 3 days a week. So I did that and managed Tom, work, volunteering, usual things.
Usual things. Yeah. We're all sitting here just like...
A little bit of volunteering, I must say. Like, I mean, reading at the school, volunteering at the hospital, with the race club. Just the list is endless of what Patsy did while managing the company.
Wonderful. And, Mum, your pathway into it, going into, as I say, official roles with my index fingers?
Official roles has only been in the last 12 months, where I've stepped into the role as operations manager for the hangar and the charter operations, which is a mixture of quoting, scheduling, invoicing, and anything else that might happen on any given day, basically.
Did you find you already knew a lot about it through just, you know, dinner table chat, or was it quite a process to actually learn this back end and the financials, or the bookkeeping, I should say?
Oh, I must say that's not my forte at all, mm-hmm. Which David knew well and truly, but someone had to do it.
So just learn as you
I think went. Learning as I went, and we were fortunate to have good support
yep.
to ask any questions and go through those processes. But yeah, it was that side of the business was probably a huge learning curve mm-hmm. for me.
Mish?
I think we've been blessed as we've grown the business, we've made sure we've had really good people behind us, whether that's financial, external bookkeepers, legal counsel, and then really relying on our team. So our Tim, our head of operations and our head of fixed wing department, and really empowering them to be decision makers, but knowing we can't do it all ourselves, and everyone has their niche and what they're good at, and hoping that everyone will step in and fill the voids when you do need it. So I think it's a bit the same as a team and a community. As your company gets bigger, it extends beyond the husband and wife or the partners as a couple, that you really have to trust other people to support you.
I think, and definitely, Michelle, finding that support to support you, your staff, they are everything. I cannot make that more known. They are everything. And when we were in Richmond, our staff lived with us. Mm. We had staff quarters. They ate with us. They became part of your family.
So when people ask about work-life balance...
There is none. There is work in there in life, and it's all together.
It's all together. It meshed in. So they all watched Tom grow up, go to boarding school, do his trade, and we're friends with all of them.
What's it like watching all your kids follow along your footsteps and go into aviation as well?
Well, I think it's...
Look, she's got to think about
it. It was inevitable.
I think it's inevitable.
Yeah.
It just becomes... I mean, Tom has just lived and breathed it. That's all he has known. Mm-hmm. And we were so fortunate when he was in grade 11, he went to Cloncurry for work experience, and that same company we started with, they've done the same thing for Tom. So yeah. He's now an Amy.
Shout out to Tommy. I'll get to see him when I'm on the road in a couple of weeks' time now. See him in about a month, I reckon, which will be good. Go and see his hangar and everything he's getting up to, which I find it really special for us being able to go be the next generation to carry on that everything that you guys have done and keep it going, because it is incredible work.
And I think that's it, is watching the families grow and evolve. For me, looking at the photos, that really special day last year when, you know, Sam was giving David his AS350 endorsement, and Tom was in going for a TIFF, and like everyone was in doing their own little thing, and it was a really special day, because 25, 30 years ago, to say that that's where it would have ended up, we would have never believed it. We were too busy putting the kids in a cot and having a bottle of wine, and that was it.
Meatloaf, rum and water. Ramsey Street.
Is that how you got through?
Patsy loves my meatloaf. Go figure.
Are you being sarcastic or is that?
No, I'm being real.
God, it's so dry.
No, we've did that so many times. Absolutely.
There we go.
You obviously didn't have enough rum with it, Georgie.
There we go. In the next email out to all the frequent flyers, I'll attach the recipe to it then. Must have with rum. Rum and water.
Water.
Criminals. Oh. I don't even like rum to start with.
Your generation are the criminals. Putting it with Coke.
I can't.
Then a little bit of lime cordial and you were super fancy.
Oh, gosh. No, not for me.
So that's how we survived.
That's how you survived. Yeah, so cut to the chase, the right end of the episode. Past everything else, rum and water and meatloaf was actually your number one tip for getting through it all.
No, getting through it. Having that support group, having your friends, making what you're doing your family, mm-hmm. I think that's...
So that would be your advice for us kiddies, Sam, Tom and I?
Get involved in your community, do some volunteering, see what you can do out there, and just keep that good network around you.
Mm-hmm. I think so, and I think if your tight relationships don't have trust, then you have to look at what's going on, because it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. For me, that's the biggest pillar of your immediate relationships and your wider relationships is the trust has to absolutely be there. And then you can be comfortable, and it's trust in their skills, trust in, okay, I haven't heard from them for a week, no big deal. That's just the way it is. I know that's a shock to your generation.
Yeah, it definitely is.
You know, there's going to be days when you're on the road and we're not going to hear from you, and I've got to trust that you're okay, that we've raised you so that it's all good.
It's all good. There is a little quote that I would like to finish up with, and it's something that's kind of been going around a bit lately. I've seen it on our socials and everything, but it's the growing as individuals together, which is something that I really love, and I really love with this episode. I feel like that ties in really nicely, is you were away or will be away for such long periods of time, but knowing the importance of becoming an individual but then still doing it together. So not just forming to one life or the other, and it's doing your own thing but doing it together, if that makes sense.
I think so. Yep,
definitely.
I think a healthy relationship, everyone has to maintain their individuality.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm.
We do have a couple questions from the frequent flyers, so I'll just see if I can get them up.
You got the OG wags.
Someone has said, his mum hates when I park my Skyhawk on her lawn for Chrissy dinner.
Mum needs to get over it. Take her for a fly after a couple of ports, she'll be fine.
Oh, how to approach dating when you know you might have to move for a job. Again, I think that's just if it's love, they'll want to make it work.
Mm. Yeah, if it's going to be, it'll be, and you'll make it work.
I think you have to be honest from day one. Like, mm-hmm. I remember your dad saying to me, I hope you know I'm going to be away a lot. And I said, that's what I'm signing up for. See you later. Come back your bag. Like, you know.
Actually, tell us about the conversation that you and dad had the other night on the front porch when he was asking what you used to do when he was gone for long periods of time.
Oh, yeah, I remember. So when he'd go to Canada for 12 weeks, and I think at the stage you were in, like, grade 1 or 2, and Sam was in grade 7. So I would be at home, you know, for up to 12 weeks at that stage on my own with no communication. And he asked me one day, what did I used to do at night? And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, what did you do of an evening? And I'm like, well, we'd do homework and we'd have dinner, and sometimes there'd be sport, and then there'd be bath and bed and a little bit of housework. I'm like, I just don't understand the question. Like, what do you mean, what did I do at night?
But for him, he's probably trying to get that picture in his head of what was actually happening at home.
I'm like, oh, I think I was sitting with a gin and tonic and a smoke with my feet up while the kids ran around. I'm not sure. Anything's possible, but...
Oh, gosh. Well, anything else you wanted to touch on before we finish up for this episode?
Just thinking about a rum and water, to be honest.
It's Friday Eve. It's only fitting.
It's Friday Eve.
I think if it's flying's your dream and your goal, just make sure you do it and find those around you that will make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Focus on yourself, and those who really love you will be there to support you.
And there's
so many
different careers in flying. Mm-hmm. It's not just being the pilot.
Well, massive shout out to you ladies and everything you have done and supported throughout your lives, and thank you again for setting this all up for us kids to come. We don't just take it lightly. Definitely feeling very grateful, and I know your boy Tom would be, and Sam does, even though Sam doesn't say it as much because he doesn't have a podcast, so I jump on and try to say it for him. Yes, but really appreciate it, and thank you for jumping on again. Mishy, like, what, you can't stay out of this studio now.
Well, you keep inviting me back.
I know, the frequent flyers love having you on. And Pats, I'm sure there'll be demand again. So when I'm in Richmond on my way around, frequent flyers, I'll be stopping by in a couple months. So if there's a topic you want me to chat with Patsy on, definitely community. I think we could do something on that and the importance of it. So thank you for jumping on.
Thanks, Georgie.
We'll chat soon.
Thank you for having us. Thanks, G.
See ya.